So, look, IBS is something that can occur at any time in life, although it's more common in younger people than older people, but it's still any time of life. And once you get it, unfortunately, most people seem to have it long term. It can come and go, but it doesn't go away. However, when you get into older age, it can start to apparently disappear. So it may not be there for the whole of one's life, but it certainly can be there for long, long, long periods. And, of course, that causes distress and affects people's personal relationships and their work and other important factors in their lives.
So this new research that you've uncovered about IBS, that each person sort of needs to have their own sort of tailored approach to treatment. How was IBS treated before this new information came out?
Look, IBS, you know, traditionally has been treated based on treating the symptoms, just trying to control those as best we can. And that hasn't worked terribly well because, you know, the medications that we would use, and it still use actually, provide some relief but don't take all the symptoms away. So that's why it's important to uncover potential causes and hopefully treat those causes. And now, you know, we are trying to personalise treatment, and I think that there's certainly progress. And so, for example, reducing stress levels and anxiety can be helpful in some people but not in others, because their IBS may be directly related to stress in some cases, but in others, it's a consequence of the IBS, not a cause. So, you know, different treatments for those people. Diet can be very helpful for some people with IBS and needs to also be tailored. And then exercise can be helpful. And then, of course, if that doesn't work, one can use medications that can change, for example, the microbes in the gut that potentially can help people with IBS.
Could we focus in on the relationship between the gut and the brain for a moment? How was this uncovered?
Well, I think, you know, we're not the only people who have obviously been studying this. There's a number of groups around the world, including our own, who've been looking at gut-brain relationships. What we discovered, and which we've confirmed now in three separate studies, is some people with IBS, their IBS appears to begin in the gut and not in the brain. And then the brain, then anxiety and factors like this become apparent. In other words, the gut is the primary driver. While in other people with the same type of symptoms, their problem appears to begin centrally in the brain itself, perhaps, and then they get gut problems. So that's been a really important observation, and one of our contributions, because it tells you that you can't treat everyone in the same fashion. And then the other piece of work that we did, or other pieces of work we've done, in addition to looking for microbes in the gut that might be linked to IBS, is we've shown that if you have some subtle inflammation in the gut and you get circulating chemicals from that inflammation, that can also directly affect your brain, and that can be blocked by medication that blocks those chemicals. So that's really been interesting, we think, because it suggests very strongly that, again, the gut can directly affect the brain. And in some people with anxiety, perhaps, maybe their gut's the problem, not something else. That could be very helpful for treatment in the future.
What are some of the symptoms, I guess, to look out for with IBS?
Typical symptoms are you get abdominal pain, tummy pain. It tends to come and go. It can be crampy pain or more constant pain. But there's also, usually, there's associated feelings of bloating or excess gas or even swelling of the tummy. And you have diarrhea or constipation, or both, diarrhea and constipation. And it's the combination of those symptoms that's very characteristic for IBS, particularly if it's coming and going and it's been there for quite some time.
Is IBS misdiagnosed a lot? For instance, someone who might have something a bit more chronic like Crohn's disease or colitis might be initially told they have irritable bowel syndrome. Like, how would they find out they have either?
Very good question. So there's no doubt that you can misdiagnose it. And there's evidence that, you know, when people first present, sometimes they are mislabeled. So getting the right diagnosis is important because the treatment's quite different. people with inflammatory bowel disease, that's Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, they can present with typical sort of IBS-like symptoms, you know, which get misdiagnosed early on. And even to complicate it further, if you've got inflammatory bowel disease, you can develop IBS. How about that? So it's really complicated. So, yes, it is important to think about that. But some simple blood and stool tests can often guide the doctor about whether to further investigate for inflammatory bowel disease.
And getting something like a colonoscopy down the track?
Yep, if you need it. Not everyone who has IBS symptoms needs a colonoscopy. In fact, most people don't. But certainly if there's any indicator features that suggest it's inflammatory bowel disease, then you may well need a colonoscopy, yes.
What advice would you give to people who have recently been diagnosed with IBS?
Well, the first thing I think to say is IBS is, you know, never leads to any loss of life. So there's no risk of you living less long because you have IBS. In fact, we did a study many years ago which suggested people with IBS on average, and this is only on average, of course, live about 2 or 3 days longer than people without IBS. Now, that's 2 or 3 days in a lifetime. It's a very small amount.
Strange.
But anyway, so certainly you shouldn't worry about that. But obviously, what I advise patients if they have IBS-type symptoms is to try stress reduction techniques, because sometimes that can be really helpful, and sometimes it's not. So you need to realize that, you know, it's worth a try, but it doesn't work in everyone. That you can change your diet, and that can make a really big difference in a number of cases. Well worth trying, and you may want to see a dietitian to get some specific advice, because there are some different types of dietary approaches you can take depending on what symptom you have. And exercise. Many people with IBS are younger people who can exercise. Exercise can help reduce symptoms, reduce pain, improve bowel function, which can be very helpful.